Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Three Beards Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, with your other host, Ken Lee, and Chelsea fan, Tyler Offeld. How are we doing, Ken?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I gotta be honest with you. Bad result in the Manchester United game. The Ravens are terrible. And on top of all that, I had a late lead in Candyland against my kids and my six-year-old with a come-from-behind double green to beat me. It's just not a good day for me, Ken. I'm ready for this weekend to be over, and unfortunately I have to think about it because we got a break coming up, another international break.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a long time before you can rid the wrong that was the display of Manchester United this weekend.
Yeah, well,
it looks terrible.
They did not look terrible. We'll get into it.
They never looked like they wanted to win, that's for sure.
They were beaten. They got beaten. We'll talk about it.
You can get beaten and look like you want to win. I mean,
Tyler, how are you doing today, bud?
I was wondering if you're going to inquire about my well-being.
I thought about blocking you from this podcast, honestly, but
it's hard.
Well, I mean, truth be told, Tyler, nobody really cares how you feel, especially since you're a Chelsea fan and
the dirty Morata
was your wife, but...
You know what? Murata, he's sitting shotgun in my balloon, which is reinflated and floating high.
All right, let's get started. We are not going to go to that game quite yet. I want to start, Ken, with your game, if you will. The Manchester City versus Arsenal game at the Etihad, and... I mean, I thought that City coming into this game is imperious. They are absolutely on fire. Best Prem start ever. And you had promised us that Arsenal would show up. And Arsenal has sucker punched City before, even when they're in good form. I think to beat Manchester City right now, you have to be perfect. And Arsenal wasn't perfect. They didn't play badly, but they weren't perfect.
Well, yeah, I mean... Like Wenger said, I'll go a little bit more deeper because I won't get fined by the FA or whoever protects these referees. But yeah, City will continue this way, especially if they continue to get calls in their favor like they did on this afternoon. I mean, I think Arsenal did show up. I mean, they weren't perfect, of course. I mean, no team's going to be perfect right now except for City, and that's just because they're simply on fire. But when it comes to... who took it to City the most this season? I would have to say and this is me being completely unbiased to Arsenal. Arsenal took it to City the most this season, except for, you know, what they had a draw or something to a bottom tier team. But
yeah,
we attacked them. We weren't afraid of them. We were organized defensively for the most part. And, you know, minus that De Bruyne goal, which, I mean, that's just a lesson in clearing, for God's sake. out of your third.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
He's going to put that away anytime. I mean, today he should have put away on his left. It doesn't matter what foot it's on. It's going in.
No, he's two-footed.
Mm-hmm. So, but besides that, I mean, you have the PK, which I will stand up. I will take it to the grave that was not a PK. And... 100%, not only on the third goal, not only was Silva offside, but so was Jesus. They were both offside.
That's accurate.
And I'm well aware of the rule that once they didn't call Silva offside because the both of them were past the final the line of defense, that Jesus is not offside. But when the ball was played, they were 100%. In terms of offside, a mile offside. And it was allowed. So I feel that we played good enough for a draw. I feel more hard done than I do disappointed by the play, like I usually am on a 3-1 defeat, any Arsenal game that we lose 3-1. Usually I am just thoroughly pissed the way that we showed up to play, but today we played. I felt really good, organized, attacked, and it's something to be proud of, I think, when, you know, you're not going to beat City and the goalies. I mean, City and the referees.
Yeah, like I was saying, I mean, coming into this game, the way that City is playing right now, you'd have to be perfect to beat them. In the midweek, they had a little scare, but they still pulled it out almost handily, 4-2, I think it was. And coming into this game, De Bruyne is right now, I believe he's the best player in the world right now, Ken.
I would agree.
Right now, I'm not saying that he's going to win.
He's not right now. Yeah.
He's not going to. I mean, I don't think he's going to win the Ballon d'Or or anything like that. But he's the best player in the world right now for me. His passing has been unbelievable, and his shot conversion rate, almost all of which are from outside the 18, is through the roof. He's just the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, so I'm not mad at the goal. 1-0, definitely deserved. I do feel like Arsenal was the team to watch in the first 10, 12 minutes. Then it went to City for the next 10 or 12 minutes, and then it was back and forth until the goal came, and terrible decisions by the referee. Lacazette comes on, you know, and he plays his part. Why he wasn't starting, I guess that's between Wenger and whatever higher power he talks to get his decisions from. But the next time I see healthy Lacazette and Giroud on the bench, and you think it's a good idea to start Iwobi, I implore you, Mr. Wenger, what the heck is Iwobi doing starting against Manchester City? Iwobi's okay, but Iwobi can't hold the ball up. I mean, he had some glimpses of looking good today, but he's not a starter. Not in a big game like this.
Yeah, I saw that as well, and that was a big question mark for me right away from the get-go, and it seemed to me that Wenger was conceding to City, saying, you know, I have to change all my tactics and just try to stop you from beating us by a lot. That's what it kind of felt like to me, but you know, Arsenal showed a little more blood than that, and they were in the game. You know, the second goal by Aguero, a penalty kick, was soft for sure. The ball got played into the box, and Sterling took a poor first touch, but still would have had a decent shot on goal. Monreal was right on his shoulder, a little bit clumsy, but just stronger than Sterling. And Sterling
100% not a PK.
Sterling, I believe, leads the league in earned penalty kicks every year, just about. He's quick in the box for one thing, but he's also quick to go down. And I don't think he had enough control of that ball, for one thing, for it to be registered as a foul. When he came in, when Monreal came in, he has the same right to that ball that Sterling does. And Sterling got bodied off the ball, and he did not have control of it. So I think, for me, that's the big thing. I don't think that's a foul in the middle of the field. I think it was a soft penalty kick. But, you know, when it happens in real time, you're watching it with all the speed. I mean, I guess I could see it, but I'd be just as pissed as you were if I was an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, and I think today, more so than the 3-1, the win to City, the rest of the league should look at the way Arsenal attacked City and showed, really, especially on that Lacazette goal, the lack of defensive organization that City really does have. And it might be because they're just so used to not playing defense.
Yeah, like, they don't have
to. If you attack City and you play unafraid of them, you have a chance to break them down. And I think Arsenal showed that today. And I will firmly believe until, you know, I'm no longer thinking of this game, which will be 2 weeks from now, that if it weren't for the referee's bad decision-making today, we would be going back to London with a 1-1 draw. Well-deserved 1-1 draw.
It was a good fight, but, I mean, I don't know if I agree with that, just because City, they're just doing it all right now. I mean, they're converting. They're ruthless. If you make a mistake with them, if they get an edge where there's an offsides call that wasn't made, that's a goal. You know, like if you don't clear a ball, that's a goal. And it just goes to show how ruthless they are right now. In a normal game, you're right, it would have been 1-1. But Manchester City is not playing normal football right now. They are playing.
If it wasn't for the referees making bad decisions, it wasn't like it was 5-1 and I'm complaining about 2 goals out of the 5. There was 3 goals and I'm complaining about 2. which 3 minus 2 is 1-1. It's not like they scored a horde of goals, Thomas.
The two goals that they scored
were because the referee allowed two goals to be scored that should not have been allowed. But it's fine. It's whatever. I'm not going to be, you know, butthurt about it or anything, but it's just annoying that, you know, you show up against a team like City who is playing the way that they are, and then it's like when you finally do find the weaknesses and you do play up to their level and you're stopping them, there's a referee to save it. It's just frustrating. So, but you know, that those are the breaks here. So in 2 weeks, we'll get a chance to write this wrong against Tottenham, and, you know.
Oh, man.
Tottenham, and then we'll figure it out. But, you know, if we play like this for the rest of the season, you know, we'll end up somewhere on the right side of the table.
Before you guys move on, I do have a question to ask of your great soccer knowledge. When I was watching the game, the announcers made mention of the fact that they have one of the records that Man City has broken is that they have 16 wins in a row, but one of those wins was a draw that went to PKs, and they won in PKs, and some people say that that's not considered a win, that's still considered a draw. But Man City is considering it as a win when they're talking about this record. So I guess, to me, if a game goes to PKs and they don't end it as a draw, whoever wins the PKs wins the match. Why would that be a question mark in anybody's mind?
Yeah, it's a win. It's a win. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a cup match. Think about the World Cup final. You know, they don't say that Brazil beat Italy in 1994. They don't say that Brazil drew Italy. No, it's Brazil gets to hold the World Cup. Like, that's just
kind of won the World Cup.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree with you guys. I just thought it was interesting that the announcers specifically mentioned that some people say that as like it has an asterisk next to it, that win, because it went to PK.
Yeah,
I heard that too. I think it's just for people who just want to take something away from
City. I would love to take something away from City. I would love to, but no, not right now. They are absolutely on fire. They don't have 15 wins in a row, do they, Ken? Because they had that draw in the beginning of the season against, like, Watford.
I think they're on a 9-game winning streak right now.
But it might be home. But it's like, could be home. It could be their home record.
Yeah, their home record is crazy. Like, they haven't lost at home, I think.
That could be.
They were saying something. I don't know enough to say it off the top of my head, but they were saying something to what you're saying, Tyler.
Yeah, bottom line, though, City right now, going into that United and Tottenham game, I mean, both these teams are looking way up at City, and United, if they were to lose the Chelsea match, they would have they go down by 8 points, and Chelsea going into that match, if they were to lose, I believe they would have been down 12. So both these clubs are like, hey, we're just trying to hang in there. And as of right now, we're only 11 games in, and it's really easy to crown someone in mid-November when they're playing as well as City is. But it's November. I've seen teams go up by 8 points, 10 points, and drop those leads. So it doesn't seem like it would be likely right now as the way City's playing. But, you know, that's why we watch it, because it does happen.
Tom, just so you know, I looked up the statistic for you. From the 26th of August until today, they've won 15 matches in a row in all competitions, including a draw in the League Cup, one on penalties.
Okay, so that draw was real early then. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I guess that makes sense, because they have 10 wins, one draw in the league, and their Champions Leagues they've won, and their League Cups. Yeah, I guess so. I apologize. But, so City flying high, really looking dangerous. And, I mean, it's going to take something special to beat them. Arsenal drops to 6th place on goal differential as they are tied. Oh, it's not goal differential, is it? Ken, what is it? Because they both have 4, so it must be goals allowed or something like that. They're actually tied with Burnley as well on 19 points. Arsenal sits in 6th, Burnley in 7th. So, as you said, Arsenal will play Tottenham Saturday, November 18th at 7:30 in the morning. So that's going to be a good one. That is at the Emirates. Anything you want to say about that, Ken? Real quick?
It's a win.
Man, a few words. All right, moving on to the next match, which will be the Tottenham versus Crystal Palace match. Ken, did you see any of this game?
Yeah.
This is a good game, but I don't think if you're a Tottenham fan, you're not comfortable with this because you get Harry Kane, but at the same time, Crystal Palace really had a strong chance in this game.
Yeah, I mean, minus the possession, Crystal Palace looked better today.
Yeah.
They looked more like the team that wanted to win. And, I mean, you know, this is a home game for Tottenham. I don't know, but, you know, at the end of the day, Tottenham, they did what it took to win. And that's what, you know, the top teams do. They did not look good today. They weren't. There was no cohesiveness within the squad. They were kind of second to the ball when they didn't have, like, the, you know, the few times they didn't have the ball. Like, it seemed like, you know, it was hard for them to stop Crystal Palace from getting into the final third. Crystal Palace just couldn't put it away. And then Son with, you know, pretty nice shot, you know, ends the game 1-0. I think that it would have been a little bit better if, because Son missed another chance. And yeah, then there was a couple of chances that Crystal Palace had at the end. It would have been better for that to end 1-1, obviously, for me. But,
well, I agree. The goalie that played for Tottenham with Lloris hurt was Gazzaniga. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I couldn't. Gazzaniga? They said his name a couple times, but I can't remember how he said it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he played pretty well, Ken. He didn't come out all the way on the breakaway late by Zaha, and Zaha ended up beating him and then missing the open goal. Yeah. Not that it was an easy shot. It was because he had a ton of pressure and he was moving. He had just beaten the goalie, but the goalie, it was around the 18 and it was wide. So, I mean, he needs to score that. Zaha's been playing really well and you would have expected him to score it. But overall, the backup goalie for Tottenham played really well, had some nice saves in there. And I agree with you, though. Tottenham is lucky to take 3 points from this. It should have been 1 point.
Yeah, the date doesn't matter, though.
No, it doesn't. And that's we talk about it all the time, but Tottenham's a machine, a point machine. And they get these 1-0 wins. They don't seem to spit up when it comes to their leads. They don't give them away, and they'll take cheap wins. And that's the kind of thing you would expect from a normal title winner, but it's just too bad that Manchester City is historic so far this year, because I feel like Manchester United and Tottenham are playing like a normal champion would. Like, the pace they're on now would put them at the end of the season at, you know, up around 80, 85, 86 points, and that would win you the league, like, probably more years than not. It's just, you know, it's too bad that Manchester City's playing so well, but that them's the breaks, Ken.
That is true, yeah, and a 1-0 victory feels as good sometimes as a 5-0 victory. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day. I mean, Crystal Palace is starting to play a lot better. They're starting to look a lot more like a team that wants to start stringing results together, and, you know, it just so happens today they came up against a Tottenham team that very rarely loses, and they scored first, so Tottenham's able to hold 1-0 is a lot, like you said.
Yeah, nice win for them. Another place where there's a nice result, a few in a row here. Bournemouth beats Newcastle United, comes up off the bottom, and Bournemouth is out of relegation territory. Not a great game, not a classic game, but a late winner, 92nd minute header, nice header, and it's not like Bournemouth didn't deserve it. It was pretty even, but Bournemouth goes away with the points here, 3 points. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I knew Eddie Howe would get these boys straight. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. On to another relegation game, Brighton versus Swansea, and Brighton playing their way into, or basically out of the relegation conversation here as they take a 1-0 win, which you could say that it was robbery. Swansea actually played their best game of the season and Brighton just stole one.
Exactly, yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean what are you gonna say? I mean, it's the same thing as before. I mean, sometimes you're just gonna win a game, doesn't matter how bad it looks. The end result is what matters. Swansea is at the bottom of the table because of this. They can't get a result, and you got to get the results against teams like Brighton. I mean, Brighton's at the top half of the table, but to be completely honest, it's still a newly promoted team in Brighton who did not come into this season on the best of form, and now they're starting to get these little tricky result away wins that are is going to be just enough, you know, to keep them at in the right part of the table at the end, which is not being relegated. And Swansea, because of this, if they can't figure it out, they can't go many more seasons like this. This will most likely be the last one if they're going to continue playing the way they played today, which is playing good and still not getting a result.
Yeah, and I mean, that is how you get relegated, Ken. That's exactly how you do it. Palace knows better than anyone right now. Palace has 4 points on the season after 11 games, and Swansea is 8. But both of those clubs are in big trouble, and they need to just find points wherever they can. And today, that loss against Brighton after playing better, exactly what you said, you just have to find points.
Yeah, I mean, you need to at least keep 0-0. Like, if that's going to be your best right now, make that your best, and then make wins in the later mid part of the season, end part of the season. Make your need a win, but right now you've got to be at least securing 1 point here and there. I mean, they're not doing that at a consistent enough pace.
Yeah, did you see the goal on this one? Glenn Murray with the crotch ball. Great finish. Great finish. It's a tough finish, man. When that ball bounces up there, a lot of people try to volley it or like knee it in. He just let it come to him and just crotched that ball right in, Ken. He crashed it right in there. Yeah, so Brighton gets the points there. Burnley versus Southampton, another 1-0 game with robbery involved. Burnley with one shot on target, and it was in the 81st minute on a header. And then did you see that it was, in the 92nd minute that Tom Cleverley... Wrong game. Southampton does not even goes out with a whimper, basically. Burnley with 5 shots, 1 on target. Southampton 13-3, and they end up dropping it at home. That's a big loss for them.
Yeah, Southampton's been pretty disappointing overall this season so far. But, I mean, they still stay, you know, where they're most likely going to finish. So, I mean, maybe they're just not doing as many things out of the ordinary as they normally do. They're not beating clubs that, you know, they shouldn't. Maybe right now they're just getting points where they should be getting the points, and then this is just a loss that a team like Southampton's going to take throughout a season. But they've been very quiet, and you would think that they would be worse than where they are right now based on, you know, every time we bring them up anyway. But, you know, they sit in 13th. I mean, I don't think that they're going to be too upset about it, except for the fact that they don't have any exciting headlines.
Yeah, and that's very true. And I think the headline here is Sean Dyche with the win for Burnley, the manager for them, linked heavily with Everton right now. And what do you think, Ken? I mean, he's been building that team for a while, and he's brought them into respectability. Do you think he's going to move to Everton? Right now, he's at Burnley. They have 19 points and sit in 7th place. Everton, 15th place on 11 points. And I know Everton has way more prestige than Burnley, but he's building his own club.
I think, yeah, exactly. To that point, right now, Dyche is, this is his Burnley. Why would you leave right now when you're in the top 10 of every, and it's all stuff that you have done. You've put the players in place. You've created the tactical way that they're going to play. The team pretty much revolves around you and the players and the style that you go out to play. Why would you go to Everton right now and take on Koeman's mess? I mean, Koeman spent £150 million on these players, and they can't string a result together to save their life with any type of consistency. I think that going to Everton right now, anyone who takes it on, it could potentially be a losing battle. I think that Everton would be... it would be in Everton's best favor or best interest to keep who they have now or bring Moyes back. I liked Moyes at Everton. But if I'm Dyche, I'm not going to Everton. Not right now. I'm going to finish what I started at Burnley. Whether finishing what I started is finishing this season and see where the chips fall, or, you know, staying here for a meaningful amount of years and, you know, really make Burnley a mainstay in the Prem, and let's see if we can get Burnley into, you know, challenging for Euro spot.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll say about that is that let's say Burnley right now is as pretty as they're going to be, you know, 7th place. Is that their ceiling?
And that's Everton anyway, so who cares?
I mean, you could say it is, but at the same time, if you get in there and you, you know, make a couple tactical manipulations, the talent at Everton should be way above Burnley. It's just whether or not you can take on the dead weight or the... I mean, they have a lot of age on that squad, too. That's what I'd worry about taking over for Everton. They have a ton of age. Not to mention they have a club legend, I guess, in Wayne Rooney, and you don't know what to do with him because he's lost so much. And granted, you're the new manager, so putting him on the bench is no problem, but eventually Wayne Rooney is going to have a problem with being on the bench, and that's a headache you got to deal with.
That's okay, because my problem heavily outweighs yours, Wayne Rooney, and the fact of the matter is you can't play.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want you to play. You can't. You can't do it. And my only thing is, with the whole Everton argument, Everton's reached their ceiling, and we've seen it. They've been spending the last couple of years, whether Koeman wanted to admit it or not out loud, they've been spending the last couple of years trying to break into the top four, and they can't do it. And they've tried many different ways to do it, many different players. Now they've dropped a boatload of money into the club, and they're doing arguably the worst they've ever done in recent memory. So
yeah, they are.
It's a sinking ship. Why would you go take that on? I wouldn't.
I'm really split on it, because you have the potential of Everton with the funds of Everton, which is a big deal, and then you have your own project at Burnley where you're building their pay scale by where you're finishing in the league, and you're building their tactics. He probably has a heavy hand in their youth team, and where he can pick how he wants them to be developed and kind of move them forward.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's...
Do you think that do you think the owners of Everton are going to be too quick to allow all of the decision making to go back to a manager anytime soon? I mean, it'd be a conversation to have, but I would imagine Koeman might have burned that bridge for the next manager. Like, our money's kind of tied up in these players, and you got to figure it out.
Yeah, that's very true, and that's a sucky thing to move into. So Burnley with a 1-0 win here and looking pretty. We'll see what happens at the Everton manager spot.
Everton, man, they look good. They had a crazy game this weekend, tell you
yes,
that.
Yes, they did. Everton in this game goes down 2-0 to Watford at home, and in the 46th minute and the 64th minute, Watford has two goals, Everton looking in shambles, and then, I mean, how do you say his name?
Nies.
He bundles a ball in, beats the goalie, but his touch is letting him down, man. He was about to lose that. He got it into the goal, but it wasn't pretty. And then great header from Calvert-Lewin. I got a text message from my brother, Joey. He's just like, at 2-0, they went down, and he just texted me, just, Everton is the absolute worst. I'm like, yeah, they are. And then we look back at the game, we click back over to the game in the 67th minute, and Everton had grabbed a goal, and then they went on a corner kick and grabbed a goal. And then, Ken, super late, Leighton Baines buries a PK. This game, I believe, had 12 minutes of extra time?
12 minutes of extra time.
How do you find 12 minutes of extra time? How do you find 12 minutes of extra... I don't understand how that's possible.
The last time I saw that was in a Chelsea game. I forget who they were playing, but there was like 10 minutes.
Sounds about right. Sounds like a Chelsea tactic. Intimidate the referee, actually, it's a Manchester United tactic. Anyway, Baines scores a penalty kick in the 91st minute, and then Tom Cleverley for Watford gets a penalty kick in like the 100th minute? 100th?
It was like the 100th minute. Yeah, it was 10 minutes in to the 12 minutes. Yeah, 100th minute. Unbelievable.
Like, and bashes it wide.
You gotta hit the target at least. Come on.
Bashes it wide.
Maybe he's still getting a couple of checks from Everton.
Double agent Tom Cleverley smashes the ball wide. What do you do if you're a Everton fan and they call that penalty in the 100th minute? I think they throw the remote through the TV.
Oh, yeah. At that point, if Cleverley scored that PK, you got to assume a lot of Everton fans are going to bed this weekend thinking that this is the year they get relegated, because there's nothing they can do.
Yep, you're going to add 12 minutes onto a game. That's absurd, man. Anyway, so, I mean, a good result for them. They had a real tough week as they were eliminated from Europa. They're still shopping for a manager. Moyes put his name in the hat. Allardyce put his name in the hat.
I think you go no further than Moyes, man. They were super successful with him.
They were scrappy. They were so scrappy.
Yeah, they were a fun team to watch with Moyes in there.
Yeah, you always knew, especially playing against United. I don't know if it's true of the Arsenal games. I didn't watch a lot of Everton-Arsenal games, but they were always super chippy, and you never got away with anything for free. You had to earn all your goals, and United took a bunch of losses away against Everton.
Yeah, remember when there was a lot of talk when Wenger, like, they were like, you know, this is Wenger's last year, and
you wish.
And Moyes was, like, you know, being touted around as, like, someone who could potentially replace him, and we started the season against Everton, and they smacked us, like, 3-0.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Moyes has lost a lot of steam. The United firing...
To Manchester United.
Yeah. The United firing after handing him, was it a 5-year or 6-year contract? I can't remember. They fired him after 1 year because he finished in 7th.
Thanks, Ferguson.
There's no one who's going to be able to take over that team, buddy. He was just the sacrificial lamb. It wasn't possible. Anyway, we won't get into that right now. But Everton takes 3 points here, and they are out of the relegation zone. The manager for them right now, is his name Umbris? Is that how you say it? Unsworth. That's what it is. Unsworth.
Everton,
yeah. He's great, man. He looks so English.
He definitely does.
He's a huge fan of the club, so he's one of those guys that you can feel the passion pouring off him. I don't think they're going to stick with him. They put too much money into it to trust a Tim Sherwood type or a Ryan Giggs type, so I think that you'll see a polished manager come in. Just they have too much money there to try out possibly getting relegated. Plus, Everton still has draw as a club, so I think that you'll see a new manager in there soon. I just can't believe it's taken them so long to get a manager. I think that's dumb.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They probably want to make sure that they put their faith into someone who they don't have to fire in 3 months.
No. You never know. Never know, Ken. So Everton takes the win. Another match that we won't talk too much about. Huddersfield Town 1-0. Anything, Ken?
Nothing.
Over West Brom, Tony Pulis of West Brom is in trouble right now.
Yeah.
He has slid. He doesn't play pretty football to begin with, and when you're not getting results at the same time, that puts you in trouble. So they're in 16th place. Huddersfield, they're in 10th, Ken. They're trying to avoid relegation, and they're doing a decent job doing it. 1-0 win against a fellow relegation battler is a big move, so good on them. Going back to Liverpool, the city of, we will talk about the football club. Liverpool playing against West Ham United at West Ham. Ken, will this be Bilic's last match?
I hope so, but I feel like maybe they're going to give him one more, but I don't think they should. I want to wake up, you know, Monday morning and just wake up to news that West Ham is finally moved on from the unraveling that is Bilic, and it pains me to even say it, because I like West Ham with, I think Bilic, like, I think he embodies West Ham. I like the way that he kind of shows his emotion on his face. He gets into it on the sideline. He's there. My only request would be when West Ham fires Bilic, hopefully Monday morning, I hope they fire Joe Hart too. Because he is terrible. He sucks. There was two instances in this 4-goal drubbing that Liverpool handed him that Joe Hart... I'm not against... You can't catch every shot. I understand that. But a goalkeeper of Joe Hart's stature... I mean, he's a national goalie. I mean, he's starting for a national club, England. And now he's brought into West Ham for, I would imagine, a good amount of money. Why are you parrying shots back into the middle of the box on the 6? Yeah, and then you have the audacity to smirk? Get the hell out of here. You're fired. You and Bilic can get out of here together. You guys can go enjoy yourself a nice cup of tea and figure what's next for you. Because nobody's going to want you after this, Joe Hart. And West Ham should fire you, and then England should take note. Get rid of you as well, because you're a disaster waiting to happen. Not even my club, and you're making me so mad, and I care nothing yeah. about what West Ham does this season, but just watching you pisses me off. He's yeah. the worst goalie in the league.
He is
the worst goalie in the league.
He has the lowest save percentage. Going into this game, I believe he was at 54%, which is atrocious, and he is the worst. And I feel bad for England fans, which we will probably be at the next World Cup, Ken.
No, we'll have no choice. So
yeah, since we don't have a choice.
England national team, if you'll have Three Beards Soccer Podcast, we'll be rooting for you.
yeah. Tyler's hopped on Germany, which is fine. He's got a very German lineage. But yeah, we'll probably end up rooting for England. And exactly as you said, Joe Hart is miserable right now. The worst part is the guys behind him aren't any good either. Like Pickford's been bad.
Pickford doesn't play for West Ham.
Oh, I know. I'm talking about for England. I'm saying what they're going to have to do.
Oh,
I
mean,
England's just going to hang on to him. Yeah. But West Ham takes a beating here. And while we are going to malign Bilic and Hart, I will say that Liverpool played the good Klopp football where their counterattack. Did you see the counterattack off of the corner kick? I think it was Salah's first goal. Yes. Oh, my God. That
unbelievable.
Was lightning fast. I said to somebody I was watching the game with, I was like, damn, like there was nobody back, and then you watch the tactics. There are people back. They just ran faster than all
of
them.
Did you see how fast Salah was running to keep up with I forget who passed the ball over to him.
Was it Sané?
I can't remember.
Not Sané, Mane.
Yeah, Mane. It was Mane or Firmino? It was one of the two. I can't remember, but Salah like it looked like he had some type of turbo put into him. He was running so fast. It was unbelievable. What is that?
What's what?
What are we doing?
I'm checking on this highlight. I was trying to see who it was. I apologize for clicking that, buddy.
Come on, man.
I wanted to see it. Anyway,
he'll get us the names.
But Mane was unbelievable in this game. Coming back... And just goes to show you, like, they just have another gear. You have a guy who's the fastest player on the field and he actually makes very good decisions, which he doesn't get a lot of credit for. Additionally, Salah, who we were talking about last week as somebody who struggles to be a clinical finisher as he gets himself in terrific positioning, did miss some sitters in this game, but also scored
twice.
But
he's going to, yeah. As we've brought up before, but it doesn't matter when Liverpool scoring four goals in a game, that's what needs to happen. And you know, the last 2 weeks, and it could just be that they've just found their way into like this little defensive struggle they've had. Maybe the last 2 weeks they just had two really good clubs to play against to like just beef up that confidence level in that back four. But you know, for Klopp's sake and Liverpool fans' sake, you know, you hope that they continue doing this, but they've played really, really great the last 2 weeks, and they've punished the teams that they've been playing against, you know, making mistakes the way that West Ham did today.
I thought it was really funny during the week. I was listening to some commentary on the Liverpool match, and someone said, you know, give Klopp a lot of credit because he stopped sending his outside backs into the other team's boxes at the same time. You know, going on all-out attack, he actually has them staying at home unless they're in a intelligent position where they can move forward. Ken, these people aren't listening to our podcast because that was week one when we were giving a review of last year talking about Liverpool sending their wingbacks too far in the box at the same time. I just don't think Klopp listens to this podcast.
Honestly, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Klopp, I don't think he knows how to coach the defense. Like, it's just not
in possible. Some guys are really good at one area and not the other.
Yeah, it's not his mold. He likes scoring goals. He likes attacking. He likes catching teams on the counter. And, you know, whatever will be on defense is almost what his mindset is. And, you know, so unfortunately, like, for those fans, it's going to be a heart attack every week until the final whistle blows. But when they're playing like this, damn, they're exciting to watch. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Terrific play across the board. Really, maybe the best performance of the season for Liverpool outside of the Arsenal smashing. We'll talk about that. I bring it up every week, by the way. I'm sorry, but Liverpool's probably, actually...
They give Liverpool so much crap, so...
Yeah. Liverpool's in fifth now, above your Arsenal squad, into the mix now for fourth. They are 3 points back of fourth place Chelsea, so Liverpool, good on you. You're leaving your wingbacks and actually allowing all your offensive players to do the scoring for you, and then getting the goals is going to give you results you need. They're up off the mat. They also won in the midweek in the Champions League, so they're in a good spot for their group. Moving on to the fourth place team, Ken, and a team, a game that ruined my Sunday right before the Ravens ruined my Sunday. Chelsea versus Manchester United. I'm going to let Tyler go first on this one. Go ahead, Tyler. Do you have something to say about this game?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Absolutely do.
We're on a time schedule. Don't forget that, Tyler. Like, we don't have all day.
No, and I don't need all day because, you know, when you have fully stated prominence and glory inside a game, you don't really need to say too much. The performance spoke for itself.
Oh, my God.
The thing that I'm going to do is, you know, we can talk about how good Hazard looked, how good the midfield looked, the defense was great, how they pushed the play up the field and kept it going against United the whole time. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to preempt you guys talking about Morata, because I know that's where you want to go. First of all, his head is amazing. His header was fantastic. Jumping header was great. And also, he did a lot to break down Manchester United's play. There were many penalties and stoppages that he caused that disrupted any kind of flow that they could get. And I know you're going to say he was flopping or diving or whatever is going to help you sleep
at
night.
You mean fouls, not penalties.
Fouls. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say penalties. Fouls. He not only scored a goal, but he also kept you guys from getting any kind of rhythm in that half of the field and doing build-up play. So he was fantastic this game, and Tom, I know you're gonna, you know, and Ken, your guys are gonna dig against him, but I just wanted to put that out there first. That's all. And I'll make sure I get my jersey pressed for you, Tom.
Good, I'll mow the lawn in it. I'm gonna go for a run. I'm gonna go for a run, like a 6-hour run in it. You're the worst. So I was prepared for Tyler. I turned my mic off here for the last 2 minutes. I could hear him, but what I've done, Ken, is I've poured myself 3 shots of Jameson. I turned my mic off. I drowned them, and so now I'm ready to talk about this game. On Tyler's point, the Morata header was brilliant. It was the header of the season. Terrific ball in, terrific finish. The best goalkeeper in the world couldn't stop it, and he didn't. It was a perfect header. Congratulations, Morata. Chelsea, overall, outplayed United. That being said, Conte was back. N'Golo Conte, he was brilliant in this game, Ken. It just goes to show you what a difference he makes on a team. As he left Leicester in rubbles after carrying them to a title and wins a title for Chelsea as well, despite not scoring any goals, really, Ken. That's how good he is. I can't remember a defensive midfielder ever having the impact that he does and the thankless impact, but still getting credit for it the way he deserves. Ken, he's a terrific player.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to argue that. I mean, he's kind of maestroing the entire play. When it comes to
defensively, though. Midfield. Defensively.
No, yeah, I understand, definitely. I mean, he's doing a lot of work that a lot of people miss, but without him, these 1-0 victories are impossible to have.
Yes, very true.
Keeps a lot of pressure off of the back four.
Which is a huge deal. So David Luiz gets sat down for this one due to quote-unquote tactical reasons, despite being basically the man last year.
Because it was misting raining today, and that afro would just be out of control. You know, like the humidity in the air would just make it go insane. Nobody wants to see that.
That explains why Fellaini played so poorly.
God.
I will say that... I mean, you asked me if I had excuses for this game. I don't. I think that Chelsea beat Manchester United today. I do not, however, think that the narrative that's being sold in... I mean, I went to ESPN FC. It says Mourinho, 3 out of 10, as he's completely outcoached by Conte. I'm like, this game was 1-0, and United almost stole a point late, which they wouldn't have deserved, but it's not like Chelsea was raining balls down on them. They won on a borderline wonder goal, a terrific finish. It's not like Manchester United got smashed in this game, or that he got completely outcoached and overrun. Like, it was an away game at Stamford Bridge. Like, why are we so worked up about a 1-0 loss? All credit goes to Chelsea for that. Mkhitaryan in this game, Ken, was miserable again. Yeah. He was miserable. United, in the end, even before they subbed him off, was just skipping him, which means you just play a long ball up to Lukaku, who's up against 3 center backs. By the way, Chelsea's center back, Christensen, was brilliant in this game.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was really, really good in this game. And I believe I saw that he's only has 4 starts, and they're all against top 4 clubs. I think that's right.
Well, that's what you need. I mean, when you need to sit out a starting member of your back four, you need someone to be able to come right in, and Christensen can, and prove today that he can, and, you know, I don't think he's going to take Louise's spot, but, you know, it's just nice to know you have that.
Yeah, I thought United just got too much negative flack for this game for a 1-0 loss. I've never seen anything like that. It read like a 10-0 loss, and United had chances to score. I mean, it's not like they got blown out. They lost 1-0 away.
Had a couple chances to score, yes, but
not great ones.
They just looked. I mean, I'm completely neutral. I wanted 0-0, but man, they never look like they wanted to win. And I find it even honestly hard to even count Fellaini's, you know, half chance of being able to tie the game. I mean, if they did it, they did it. And if he scored that goal, it would have been like whatever, 1-1. It would have worked out for me. I wouldn't have cared anyway.
Yeah.
Like, 1-0 to me, you know, whatever. Tyler gets to fly away in his little dumb balloon if he wants, and then you go it's on. I do enjoy you being butthurt and having to find reasons.
I'm not done. I'm not done because I am butthurt.
To blame something else other than...
You blamed the refs earlier. Knock it off.
I didn't blame the referees. The referees should be blaming themselves. I'm just bringing it to their attention. That's definitely referee issue. It's not like I'm blaming
I'm not blaming the refs.
You know, the media for, you know, painting this picture of us playing terribly, and we didn't play terribly, but yeah, you did kind of play terribly.
I'm not blaming the media for the loss. I said Chelsea beat Manchester United. They beat Manchester United. It wasn't like they stole the win. They beat us. They deserved it,
and they beat us.
And
that's what the narrative is, that Man United was beaten by Chelsea. They were a better managed club on the day. I'm not saying on the whole, but today, Conte put out a better tactical way to beat Man United, and Mourinho looked kind of at a loss. And Mourinho in this instant is not Jose Mourinho, it's the starting 11 and the substitutions that he put out. He is responsible for the players and personnel that he fields onto the pitch. He's responsible for the tactics. So when you lose 1-0, you only have 2 shots on target. Chelsea has 8. Morata looks arguably the best he's looked all season against a very good Man United team. There's going to be a little bit of questions that Mourinho's going to have to answer, and he's not going to be able to answer them with the excuse mongering he came up with today, which is, well, we're waiting for some injuries to come back.
Oh, that was bad.
And we'll be at full power. Like, he made it worse by acting as though what they're saying is true. Like, well, what do you expect us to do? We have a lot of injuries, and Mkhitaryan's playing terribly. Like, you don't have a lot of injuries, actually.
We do.
You're counting Zlatan as an injury? That's buffoonery, because you cut him and then you brought him back.
And Rojo's not in the starting 11 either.
No, You have one injury.
We do. Pogba is a top 3 midfielder in the league. I will say that, but at the same time, injuries happen.
But that's why you brought in what's his face from Chelsea, by the way,
Modric. Yeah, injuries happen. So I will not blame it on the Pogba being out.
No, you can't. And Mourinho, I don't think is either. I think he's just trying to create anything that is, you know, him being at a loss for anything managerial to be able to get anything out of this game. But you have to be honest with yourself. Man United looked lost today.
And
They were never going to win that game.
The best result they
could have gotten was 0-0. Yeah, but every team, Crystal Palace almost scored a goal today against Tottenham.
Yeah, but
Thomas,
Crystal Palace's shots weren't by world-class strikers. Like, they could have easily scored a goal in this game. They didn't. but they could have. Like, it's not like they got blown out and they weren't anywhere near it. People are giving Rashford a tough time for the cross where the goalie's flying out. That goalie's coming right at him. He has no chance to head the ball down. He has to go wherever his body's facing. The ball goes over the net, but Courtois 6'7" and is about to absolutely annihilate you. I don't blame Rashford for this.
Lukaku with a shot player, except for Fellaini. Fellaini should have been subbed on and then subbed out immediately.
He was bad. He was bad. But I will say this, Ken.
They just looked worse. And, you know, I can't stand Morata, but he.
I think it was more that Chelsea beat them. I think it was more that Chelsea beat them than Manchester United lost. I think Chelsea beat them.
Look,
I don't think
you just don't have it in you. You just don't have it in you.
Wait, and I have this to say, too. I thought Hazard. Every time United plays Hazard, we are going to foul that poor man in the worst possible ways we can. We're talking studs on ankles. I do feel bad for Hazard. He's the most fouled player in the league, and especially when he plays United. We foul the living crap out of him because he's so dangerous and so good. I don't like that in general. I like to see a little bit of chippiness, but United goes all out on plays where he's not doing anything to kind of try to nick him and maybe even injure him, which I don't like. However, in the opposite face, Morata hits the turf every 4 seconds in this game, looking like a wet noodle. This man is not built for the Prem. He scores a brilliant header and then spends...
Week, and now spends that he's playing your club, you want to agree with it. Yesterday, last week, you threw me up on a stake for saying
I just
that.
Said he scores goals, and I didn't
agree.
Say...
I don't agree with you, Ken, that he is not a Premier League striker. Now they play Man United, he scores a goal... And now all of a sudden, this guy's not a Premier League striker. He's the worst. He's a noodle. All he does is
He is a noodle. And he's a Prem striker. He's a Prem striker because he scored goals. But
I feel bad for your friend, which is me and Tyler, because for 2 weeks we're going to have to listen to the butthurtnesses that is of this loss. Because you can't admit that your team just got beat today. I don't want to admit it either.
That's how I started this, that we got beat today. But
following your Jose-like excuse mongering, it's unbelievable.
Excuses anything.
You didn't play well today. You lost. And it just so happened that annoying Morata was the reason, was the difference, was the one goal difference.
Okay. So we'll finish it with this.
Can we question something, though?
What?
Can we bring a little attention to, maybe more attention, because we might have touched on it last week. The hamstring issue is still bothering me of Morata.
That he's fine?
That he's completely fine now.
He walked off the biggest game of the season, but he's completely fine?
It's just weird to me, and I'm going to be questioning that for a while, but...
Yeah, he's going to, after watching this game, I'm actually excited, Ken, because with the way the league is right now, the rivalries in the league are really, they're really soft. Like, even me personally, I kind of like Klopp. Like, I kind of like the way I like his energy, and I shouldn't, because he's a Liverpool guy, and I'm a United guy, but I kind of like Pep. He annoys me a little bit, but you have to just respect the way he is dominating the league. I mean, he annoys me a little bit. But in Chelsea, I really feel like we have enemies here. As a Manchester United fan, I feel like Conte, the manager, is a clown who is... as soon as the wheels come off a little bit, I expect him to quit. And if he finishes in second or third or fourth or fifth, he'll quit. Like, I expect him to go back to Italy and be like, I won the league and I don't want to do this anymore. So I have him, which I really enjoy disliking somebody. And then I have Morata. I thought with Diego Costa gone, we wouldn't have a guy that we could really point fingers at and kind of be annoyed by. But Morata does it because he can win a game now. He's shown that he can win a game with a brilliant header. And then he's shown the other side of his play where he walks off with an injury in a big game, which proves later to be suspicious. Not saying it didn't happen, but also he spends most of the game on the turf in this game just... doing the just trying to waste time. So I'm really glad to see that form of Chelsea back, so I have a team that I can genuinely dislike.
Yeah, no. I'll always hate Chelsea. And yeah. Tyler's just a collateral damage.
I just heard Tyler's mic turn on.
I wish this was a video podcast so you could just see the joy on my face right now listening to how upset you guys are.
I'm upset.
I'm not sorry.
Tom is upset, and Tom is more than upset. Tom is Tom is absolutely butthurt because he's fallen for the delusionality that is Jose Mourinho, and he believes these excuses that Man U didn't lose today. Chelsea just beat them. What the hell's the difference?
Did you also notice the lack of sportsmanship on your manager's part? There was a handshake at the beginning of the game. I don't think I saw
your manager was frolicking in the middle of the field, and Jose said, "I'm not going to run him down." Jose went into the coach's area, and guess what? Conte wasn't there. He's like, "Well, he's not here. He's running around the middle of the field like an idiot, like he usually is. So I'm not going to go find him." I also think that handshake crap is stupid. So you brought that out in me for bringing that up, but Anyway, Chelsea gets 3 points off Manchester United. I want to finish that game with one more point, which is that does anybody look worse than Bakayoko? Does anybody look worse than that guy?
Well, because
that blue hair looks idiotic.
Blue hair. I would say no. None of us look worse than him.
Yeah, nobody looks worse than him. Like, you say that Chelsea wins, that's fine, and that he was on the winning team. But he loses. That hair was awful, man. Bakayoko looked miserable. And not just his play, because he also had one of the worst shots in the game that almost went out for a throw-in. But his dumb head looked really dumb, Ken. Looked dumb.
That's a nice use of really showing the diversity of the word dumb there.
All right.
Five times in the exact same way.
I'm going to use... I'll be wearing Tyler's jersey at some point this week, as promised, for most of the day. I don't want my kids to see it, so I'll do it when they're in school so they don't have to be scarred by daddy wearing a Chelsea jersey. But I'll definitely wear it. Next week, we have Arsenal versus Tottenham. Huge game there, Ken. We touched on it a little bit. Anything you want to add?
Wenger, I know that you're a loyal listener to this podcast. If you start Iwobi over virtually anyone else on that team, I'm on the first flight to London, and you're getting punched in the forehead.
I like it, Ken.
Right in
I
the
like
forehead.
It.
Put Lacazette on there. I mean, Lacazette today, he finally came on. He did what we brought him in to do, which is make a difference. So he proved it back. He was playing, you know, a little bit underwhelming the last couple of games. He showed his worth today. Let's bring him back in the starting lineup, please. Keep it Wobie. Sub in a Wobie if you're so inclined to, but don't let him start, please.
All right, we'll see what happens. I will see if Dr. Pete, his wife is due to have a baby during this next during the international break. I think he planned it that way, so he wouldn't miss.
Congratulations! I really do hope that this baby can be brought into the world right around the time of a glorious Arsenal victory over a one Tottenham.
We will see.
To bring people into the world, not into the clouds. You got to bring them down to earth immediately. So we don't always get what we want here, but everyone always wants Arsenal to win.
Says the kid who brought two babies in this world and immediately made them Arsenal fans, thus dooming them for life. Yeah, so Dr. Pete planned his baby for the international break. Very good move by him, so he won't miss any Tottenham games. And we'll see what happens. I'll see if he'll write an email or something, and we'll read it before we go over the game next week. So it should be a good game, Ken. I have no idea. I really couldn't give you an idea for this game. I'd never bet on it, because you never know who's going to show up in terms of Arsenal. They could lay an egg, or they could fight for a 1-0 win. So, we will see, Kenley. That is on the 18th. We have a dumb international break. Again, the use of the word dumb here. You can see that I'm really digging into the thesaurus for this one. But it's very fitting. The international break is dumb. Especially when the United States has nothing to do with the World Cup. And I don't care about their friendlies. And I think Josie Altidore and Bradley, who were soundly booed again, totally deserve it. That's it for me, Ken. Anything else to add?
I got nothing.
I got to sit on this Tyler win.
Nobody cares what Tyler has to bring. It's just another Chelsea positivity speech is going to go on. Let's just end it.
Oh, okay. No problem. Chelsea's in fourth place. Chelsea is in fourth place. Chelsea's in fourth place. And Chelsea sitting in fourth with 22 points. Have a good week.